Hi there, I'm Richard Hill, the host of Ecommerce One. Welcome to episode 119. In this episode, I speak with Adam Gent, owner at Gent of Search. Adam has worked with some of the UK's most well-known SEO agencies and spent 2.5 years as product manager at Deepcrawl. Now running his own technical freelance boutique style agency and running the SEOsprint.com, a weekly SEO newsletter offering brilliant practical SEO advice on how to work with product and development teams. In this episode, we talk why should marketers spend time and resources improving their technical SEO? What is an outcome-driven roadmap? How can SEOers create one? What are the biggest mistakes Adam and myself see time and time again with e-commerce-specific SEO? Adam's advice on to businesses that have been optimizing their website for SEO but aren't seeing results. And so much more in this one. If you enjoyed this episode, hit the subscribe or follow button wherever you are listening to this podcast. You're always the first to know when a new episode is released. Now, let's head over to this fantastic episode. This episode is brought to you by Ecom One, e-commerce marketing agency. Ecom One works purely with e-commerce stores, scaling their Google Shopping, SEO, Google Search, and Facebook ads through a proven performance-driven approach. Go to ecomone.com/resources for a host of amazing resources to grow your paid and organic channels. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Ecom One. Today's guest, Adam Gent, owner at Gent of Search. How are you doing, Adam?
Hey, Richard. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am very well. We were having a little chat beforehand, weren't we? We were literally not that far away from each other, to be fair, about an hour and a half down the road. You're in the lovely York, one of my favourite places.
Yeah, and you're in a better version of York and Lincoln, so that's good.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah. Lincoln, York, very similar for those that are listening, maybe not so familiar. We'll do a little bit of maybe a small geography lesson, but York and Lincoln, very, very similar, aren't they? And that they're sort of cathedral cities, the few cathedral cities in the UK.
Beautiful
cities, cobbled streets, and you know, hundreds and hundreds of years of history. But anyway, we better get into the e-com side. Adam's been working in search for a fair long time, but obviously I'll let you introduce yourself. I think will be the best thing to do. Tell us how you sort of got into the industry and what you've been doing for the last few years.
Yeah, so I started way back in Leeds at Epiphany Search. That was my first job as like a link builder, so to speak. And then a very, very, very long time ago. And I moved. I've just been through the ranks as probably most people know, going from link builder to analyst to SEO strategist, and then senior SEO strategist. And I've worked at Epiphany Search, WMG, Branded 3. Then I worked at Salt.agency as like a senior tech SEO, and then I moved into Deepcrawl in their professional services team. As a tech SEO, senior tech SEO analyst. And then oddly, I somehow managed to land a job in product management, and was in kind of not in charge of, but was one of the people in the product team whose job it was to rebuild the Deepcrawl app, or start to rebuild the Deepcrawl app, to help enterprise SEOs crawl the websites, analyze the sites. And now after 2.5 years, I left, and now I'm kind of on my own as an independent consultant helping. Yeah. I'd say bridging the gap between SEO marketing, development, product, and trying to get everyone together to try and actually like build solutions or build things that actually solve problems.
Yeah.
That solve things for like, say, e-commerce sites or SaaS businesses. And that's what I'm doing currently.
So obviously seen a lot of things, worked with a lot of fairly well-known agencies in the UK. They're definitely, you know, a little bit further afield, some big agencies, you know, some of the bigger agencies over the years. Mm-hmm. Some that have come and gone and remoulded and restructured and whatnot, I think, as well. But obviously seeing a lot of different things, and obviously there's a lot of things we can talk about there. Now working freelance and seeing it from, you know, both sides. And I think obviously working at an agency is one thing. Working at trying to then get things implemented from an agency point of view within a company, you know, is always quite challenging, isn't it? You know, it was. Yeah. You touched on things there around sort of technical.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's quite a daunting thing, I think, for quite a lot of
site owners that are listening in, marketeers, SEOs, technical SEO, if we get a bit of a sweat on when they start things, and you know, oh gosh, you know, and you know, we're gonna have to get on the server, we're gonna have to, you know, do some restructure of this, and it all sounds quite painful, doesn't it? I think this is what quite a lot of people see.
Yes.
But obviously we know, you know, and I'm sure you're gonna tell us, you know, that it's so, so important. So, you know, why should marketers spend sort of time and resource, you know, focusing on the technical side of SEO?
Well, for me, the core thing about getting your technical SEO right is obviously the foundation of any website.
Yeah.
But having worked in product and having worked in building things, actually, not only is technical SEO, like, it is important, but it's actually really important to validate even the technical SEO side of what you're doing. So it's almost like trying to get developers to do things, you realize after working with them for 2.5 years and now working with them with, you know, with other companies, it is a social problem, right? It's like getting them to understand the problem, understand the why, and then you can start to build on the foundations properly in a sustainable way, hopefully. But it's always starting with that initial why, validating that, and then working with the dev team in kind of like a partnership, using and I've come to use like different agile practices, frameworks, the approach to how you get these things done has changed my mindset from working in product. But like when I started in, and stop me if I'm starting to go on a bit, because I will probably talk a lot about this, but I started in 7 years or 8 years doing technical SEO. Like, oh, I know it all. I can definitely work with developers. Sat down in the product team at Deepcrawl and quickly realized I know nothing about working with developers. all of the things that you think that are important, you know, like writing user stories and writing SEO tickets, for example, like, oh, that's that. You have to get those absolutely right. You quickly realize that's like 5-10% of the job. And actually, the biggest problem is this uncertainty in working with developers and working, well, in any company, is actually getting an understanding exactly why you're doing that thing, what it is, what's the vision, what's the visualization of what you're trying to achieve, and then what is the value of it? So is it solving customer problems? Is it making you money? And it's quickly validating that, because that, if you don't do those things, your technical SEO foundation, although you'll do the what I call output, so you'll tick all the boxes and your foundation is absolutely, that foundation is solid, if it isn't kind of tackled in the right way or the right approach, that foundation, you could be landing in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And actually all that work you did isn't important or isn't as useful as you thought it was. And you spent 6, 7, 8 months, 9, 10, you know. I've seen some things where my biggest, I mean, everyone has a migration horror story. Mine is client came on board at Branded 3, at like a week, and a week in to the contract, they did a migration, worst migration I've ever seen.
With no sort of didn't consult anybody at your end, they just did it.
Well, they came from another agency, and that agency, I think, were like, good luck. And they just everything you should have tested, they didn't test.
Yeah.
And they must have spent ages building this. It's this, and then now I look at it from a different point of view. Like, they didn't even get any of the, and you go, why is tech class really important? Well, like all of the foundational stuff, like website architecture, URL, you know, getting the redirect, you know, the redirects implemented correctly. But even the UX stuff, like the design of the pages, the content of the pages. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? The meat of the website.
Yeah, making sure each category, subcategory, if it's income, you know, is built in a certain way with different elements.
And this target audience was old. So they weren't like used to flashy websites. The actual old site was very accessible.
Yeah.
And immediately, I think they lost like 100 grand in the first month. Gladly. So it's not just about tech SEO being a really solid foundation, but it's about you validating what you're doing with the dev team to get buy-in.
Yeah.
Before you start to, yeah, and this is what I've learned, before you start to actually even activate all that growth activity.
Yeah.
Where, like, because devs aren't stupid. Like, they bend reality with lines of code. So, like, they shape what you
I love
see.
That. Yeah, yeah.
They shape what you see on a web app, a website.
Yeah.
They're just told what to do a lot. They're treated like factory workers.
Yeah.
But they generally do want to know why we're doing this, what value is, and that community is very much trained to think in terms of users.
I think it's a critical piece. You know, we see it as, you know, obviously you've been doing this as long as we have almost, but you know, it's you see it time and time again. You know, there's a real lack of communication with the dev team, or there's maybe not even, you know, it's going via the client to the dev team, and then you don't know what's getting passed on potentially. You know, maybe not a lot. So
you're
having that direct contact with the dev team, you know, and having that real conversations around the why, the validate, you know, the commercial aspect possibly as well. You know, we're doing this because there's a real problem with this. And
you know,
examples of before and afters maybe. So they've got that a bit of confidence in what you're suggesting and
building
that relationship, but the validating it. I think there's nothing worse than a list of technical changes that are required that go to a dev. There's no order, you know, there's no sort of, well, that might take 3 days, but in reality you might save £50 a month. Well, hang on a minute, what's the point, you know? So there's that commercial order, you know, of workflow and a real understanding of, you know, why we're doing stuff, you know, because obviously some technical things they're a bit, you know, if you're doing a complete restructure of categories, for example, or the whole, you know, 10,000 SKUs, complete restructure, it's a big bit of work. So what's the real benefit, you know, and communicating that across? You've obviously seen that quite a few times where it's not been communicated and then it's not necessarily been done correctly either.
Well, I've done this. Like, I've been at that SEO who's, when I was in agency side, like here's the list of things in this Excel spreadsheet that you need to do.
Yeah.
These developers just don't know what they're doing. Like, no, you just couldn't communicate it properly to them about why it's important, right? So I'm actually writing a lot about this in it's what I call the SEO Sprint, which is a newsletter.
Yeah.
And I've kind of begun to touch on it slightly when I have time to write, what I call outcome-driven roadmaps. Yeah. So outcome-driven roadmaps are about connecting your ideas. So let's say that take that spreadsheet with all of your recommendations.
Yeah.
What I do is I group them into almost initiatives, right?
Yeah.
So for example, like internal linking, right? Or creating a new sets of categories, right? There's a set of subtasks within that, stories, if you want to call them, yeah? So like, I think usually people call them in dev teams is epics, and stories sit beneath them. Like the parent is the epic. The story is the child, and they sit underneath each other in like JIRA. But what you're trying to do with outcome-driven roadmaps is you're trying to show there's a connection between, we're trying to not just create new category pages, but we're trying to add value to customers by creating sets of categories that have demand, right? And we can track that success of this project and all of the little tiny tasks that come with it underneath that main category, and connect that to the dev backlog by creating this like 3 to 5 initiatives with 3 to 5 tasks underneath them, and then clearly connect them to the dev backlog over time, and show both the devs and business people the value of what that initiative is doing. Yeah. Rather than, here's a list of things, it's no, there's an out, there's a behavior we're trying to change here. We can measure that behavior via some key metrics that we want to track. I distinct between metrics like KPIs and signals. So a signal is like the number of queries a page might begin to improve for, or impressions, sometimes clicks, right? Because a signal is almost like, it's almost like the momentum, you can see the momentum coming from an SEO point of view. You just can't be like, commercially, you're going to pay the bills with clicks and impressions. It's no, you can see the momentum within with signals, but the actual key result KPI is revenue, which e-commerce websites are very good for attaching to versus other other industries, which is
that's why we're here. We like that.
But that's what I would always recommend with when you're looking at a technical spreadsheet and looking at it. Could you group some of these tasks into your into initiatives to try and improve the behavior?
So it's a grouping. So you've got, you know, we've got these 30 technical tasks. They're in no order to start with. They're in no value order. There's one that's 10 minutes. You know, there's one that's 15 days. But there's no value associated, sort of thing. But what we're doing is grouping them. So we're talking about, you know, internal linking as a group. We're taking the subtask within that. And then we are then communicating and breaking down the benefit, you know, the commercial benefit. And then obviously that gets put into workflow. It's a bit more than that though, isn't it?
Well, the way that really it's also about prioritizing those initiatives and then prioritizing those sort of tasks within the initiatives. Because I guarantee you that you won't be able to do all of them because the dev backlog is already full of things that everyone else wants them to do, right? So it's also important to make sure you prioritize those initiatives and then prioritize the subtasks within those initiatives. Because what will happen is, you want us to do 3 to 5 initiatives. Well, we can only do 3 of them. You're like, okay, fine. Well, they've got 3 of the big ones. And then within those initiatives, we're like, we can only do 3, you know, 2 or 3 of the subtasks. That's fine because, you've already begun to, it looks less, doesn't look as much to have
as daunting, does it?
Here's a spreadsheet of 100 things.
Leave you to it.
And then, but you've already got, I've already prioritized all these 100 things into these 5 initiatives, and then there's 5 things underneath each initiative. It's also easy to connect to their dev backlog as well.
If there's 100 tasks, it's like, forget it. Now, next conversation with somebody else, I'm not even going to go there, am I? We'll explain it. We've broken it down, and there's these 6 tasks that will have an impact of X. 6 tasks. We can probably do half a day next Friday, we can work it in. You know, we were talking to a client a couple of days ago. It's a bit of a different thing for it's a one-off project. We were auditing another agency's work actually, and they were saying that they've got a 6-month backlog on any dev whatsoever, any technical. It's just like, what is that about? Absolute crazy, you know. So there was a lot of technical issues that we found on the site. But just the way that they're set up, although what was communicated to us, you know, we weren't speaking to the technical people. We were speaking to the sort of owners of the business and whatnot. But it was saying there's a 6-month, you know, 6-month challenge. And I think that, you know, not saying 6 months is normal, but there is quite often, you know, quite a long lead time, isn't there, to get any dev done that can be. So how would you sort of try and, I guess. Go on.
I have questions. So I'm always interested when people say this. Oh, there's a 6-month wait in the backlog. And I'm like, as a PM, we used to say things like that to stop people giving us, because what you need to understand is that a dev or a product team in a company, even in a large enterprise e-commerce company, there's 95% of ideas are put in the not now queue, and 5% of ideas are put in the okay, we'll do it now queue, right? Because And that 5% probably is going to take 3 to 6 months because, you know, this is what I mean by using outcome-driven roadmaps and trying to tie value into your initiatives and then you also need to get buy-in from those initiatives from higher up. And it's always about what is in that request log you're giving to your dev team. Like we've said, are you just giving them a load of...
It goes back to that making the team understand the priorities, isn't it? Is ultimately, you're saying you're going to do this, and it's going to make you another 100 grand a month. Well, hang on a minute. That's a flipping priority, isn't it? So whatever you've got in that 6-month list, you need to move some stuff.
But it's context, because without just having, you have 1,200 title tags or you have some broken internet, or you have a 404, like 600 404 pages. Well, okay, well, of those 600 404 pages, how many of them actually drove some e-commerce revenue and need to be redirected? Oh, only 5 of them actually did any value. So that's a different ask than getting 600 redirects. You know what I mean? This is what I found as a PM when people would ask me requests, there was just this lack of like, okay, let's just think about this.
Yeah.
Help me prioritize.
Yeah.
This. Help me prioritize this.
Yeah.
And then, by giving me a solid ask.
Yeah.
And then showing me why, and then giving me the data, and then just telling us bullet point form what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's great, Adam. I think that'll resonate with a lot of people. And if it doesn't now, it certainly will when you start to re-platform, or you if you're not engaging an SEO team or work with agencies, etc. Then I think you'll remember this episode, or it should arm you so you can sort of look at that sort of outcome-driven roadmap that you want to be working with on with your sort of team. So obviously worked on a lot of clients, you know, a lot of clients on both sides of the fence, you know, and on that sort of technical side, working the deep crawl as well. So obviously we'll have seen a lot of the similar things, you know, there's a core thing. You've mentioned quite a lot of them already sort of thing, but what would you say is some of the biggest, you know, a couple of the biggest mistakes you see sort of every time? It's like, right, let's just, oh yeah, they've missed that again. You know, what are a couple of the things that are very specific to e-commerce stores that you see time and time again?
For me, it's probably internal linking, but again, I'm going to break this down slightly because the saying internal linking is quite generic. So I don't know if you've Googled pagination SEO, but I did a study at Deepcrawl and did a Brighton SEO talk on it. If you anyone wants to check that out. But basically, if you Google pagination SEO, I think I'm like top one or two. I think me and Linny Ray seem to jump in.
Are you flexing, Adam?
I'm just saying. If you want to learn about pagination SEO, my guide is, you know, if you click on it more, then it'll probably rank more up than Lily's. Yeah.
We'll link it up in the show notes as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Little bad link for you there.
But pagination comes back to internal linking. Okay, so what a lot of people do is say, oh, pagination, you do need the 1, 2, 3. There is a link scheme that you can do that I found that actually makes your pagination less deep, right? And that's based on some research done by another agency. But what a lot of people miss is, and what people don't talk about, is that actually it's also not, like, your pagination can be bad if your internal linking to deeper level pages to your product pages is good, right? So it is a little trick you can do to see how poor your internal linking is without pagination. Crawl the site, then do a second crawl, but exclude pagination URLs. Just exclude them from the crawl. It's called a virtual crawl. We call that a deep crawl, right?
Yeah.
And you can then compare those two crawls and see what's missing.
Yeah.
I found on some sites, there was like 60 to 70% of their products weren't found in the crawl in the second crawl because pagination was so critical to internal linking that after you removed the pagination and you just crawled the first page of the category, like the other product pages didn't really internal link properly. There wasn't really internal linking to, do you know what I mean, to like, from the guides or blogs. It was all just internal link to from the pagination. Yeah. And I think that is a really big like win, is if you actually look at like Etsy or IKEA, is they maximize the internal linking from their product pages by like, I've got some examples. Like they do like cross linkings, like they do, breadcrumbs, one easy one, but there's also, you also might like related product. This goes well with color size, related searches, subcategories. Like there's lots of ways that you can maximize a product page by just thinking about what kinds of things, internally linking wise, what related products would people be interested in?
Yeah.
And what else could we showcase on this product page? It would also help with your like optimization, shall we say, of the page, because you're adding more relevant keywords and more related keywords to the product page template, but you're also adding in those internal links to other relevant pages, which can help obviously all the page rank talk. Yep. And
they're gonna get crawled more frequently. They're gonna be
but you're less reliant on pagination. That's the other thing about the other little trick that I've actually helped a client with is, you also need to think about the the sorting and your pagination, because there are, I've actually found some e-commerce sites with lots and lots of noindex sinkholes. So if you're not aware, if a page is noindex, that and this is what I found in my pagination study, and I haven't talked about it a lot, but I want to talk about it more in the future. But basically, your outbound links on a page disappear from the index. So in theory, and this is just the theory, it's a hypothesis, but I've kind of proven it with some testing with a client site, is if your pagination is full of those sinkholes at the beginning, like higher up in the pagination, right, then all of your indexable things are further down the pagination, then like Google only crawls so far, right? Yeah. Like we know that from, like, I think like Botify did a study and those people have shown Google only crawls so much into a website. So all of your really important stuff, the product pages at the back of the pagination. And yeah. I'm like, just like a shop, push all the stuff you want indexed at the front,
yeah,
you know, or think about it in terms of the sorting order of your pagination, yeah, and then push all of the stuff, your no index stuff, which is usually like out of stock or, yeah, I don't know, for whatever reason, you don't want it on the pagination.
Yeah, I had an instance. I think this is what you're talking about. I had an instance that was definitely a part of that. I had an instance. I'm trying to remember the client now. I actually can't remember the exact. Actually, yes, I do now. He sold some very expensive products. Average order value about £1,500. Sort of up to about £4,000 or £5,000. You know, which is not that common in e-com, really. Obviously, there was a lot of businesses that do, but as a whole, that's quite a different type of business. But they also had like the accessories that were like 5, 10, 50, 60 quid. So when you went to a category, it was sorted by price to start, yeah, with. So all you saw in the page one, page two, page three, page four was £10, £20, £30, £40, £50 products, which for most people sounds great. But for this guy, all, yeah, of his products that he's trying to sell are 1,500, 2,000, 3,000. They're on page six.
Exactly.
So they're
exactly the same concept.
Yeah,
exactly the same concept.
Obviously, so it's changing that default sort to price or bestseller, or, you know, obviously
it's just adding that bit to the logic of, are we making sure our indexable product pages are higher up in our architecture?
Yeah.
Right. And I did that for a client, and their traffic and their revenue went up by like hundreds and hundreds of percent. And I think the client made an extra like 700,000.
Brilliant. So that probably leads me on to my next question, whether you've got another one for us. But you know, so obviously working on a lot of technical SEO, the sort of before and after, you know, you don't have to say names if you don't want to. I know it's tricky to say, mm-hmm, names, and we won't ask you to do that, but sort of some of the things you did to a client and then the impact that had, you know, maybe with a more of a focus on the technical side.
Yes. So I won't name them, but there was an e-commerce store back in the day that, I'm trying to remember. That was it, yeah. So it was an e-commerce store back in the day, very large cosmetic store, based in the north, I think, that I did with Salt. And we solved their rendering problem. Basically, the devs had updated the navigation, and it was the classic JavaScript problem of, that you rendered it and the JavaScript, the navigational links, so the subcategory links weren't in the navigation. They just dropped out. And they think they came to Salt because they were like, all of our subcategory pages keep dropping out the index, or keep dropping. And it was simple, just a case that all of these, like, as I said, internal linking is really important thing to think about and maximize on any e-commerce store at every single page template level. Especially navigation, was put, we just asked them to, you know, make sure that the navigation renders properly and is, yeah, includes all of the,
yeah,
the developers, and, you know, very.
I've seen that very recently, what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just a simple case of the, and this is another little tip for those listening, SEO testing is super important for very complex, the more complex your stack, and the more your devs release, the more I would say SEO testing is more critical, because I've had a chat with a few NSSEOs based up with my newsletter, and they were saying that things get released and they lost the hreflang, or lost this, you know, pages disappeared, or I'm sure many of your other SEOs have come on this, you know, say things like that, But it's really critical to actually test
your
any releases.
I think that gets missed a lot, doesn't it? Especially they do an audit, or they do that sort of testing when an SEO is involved at the beginning of anything, and then it maybe never gets tested again, or it's like, the obvious ones when you're doing a migration, but obviously any release, if you're just changing, the layout of a product page, obviously there's hundreds of things you could be changing and updating, but and you can obviously then, you can also set up some automations in different tools, can't you, to sort of be testing and checking and pinging into Slack channels and things like that to, crawls that are automated to run through and pinging sort of for some of the more obvious things like meta changes that shouldn't be changing or site speed issues, you can sort of use quite a few tools. But so obviously I think there'll be a lot, this will really resonate with a lot of people. And I think, it's obviously technical SEO, it brings people out, it can bring people out in a bit of a sweat. I know, it's one of those topics.
I don't know, I always found it, like, of all the things to do, PR and link building brings me out in hives, if I'm honest. Like, that's not, honestly, I couldn't think of anything I'm worse at.
So our listeners listening in, they're thinking, right, do you know what? We're going to sort our SEO stuff out, whatever that means, and I think obviously we've got a mixed bunch listening in, guys that are working with agencies and guys that are maybe not yet. And they're deciding what to do. Obviously they might have in-house teams, they might be working with an agency more on a consultancy basis, freelancers, whatnot. But, we're sitting here and we're thinking, right, I'm really going to light a fire under our SEO. Our e-com store's doing, it's doing that. We've hit the £10 million mark last year, but we want to push forward. What would you say would be some sort of a good, it's a difficult question because obviously there's so many factors that I'm not going to give you, but what would you say marketers should be focusing on in the next 12 months if they were to sort of really try and move the needle on their SEO?
I am going to be probably a bit different and say, if it was me, I would be focusing on where are the almost like the quickest wins but can maximize value, right? So, and the one way to do that is through PPC. And I'll give you an example. So a client, an e-commerce client, we had a chat with them, I think a week ago, was it this week or last week? I can't remember. They were like, we want to enter a new market because of X, X, Y, and Z. And they were like, what do you think from an SEO point of view? And I was like, well, from an SEO point of view, you need to do, the usual things, all of, insert international SEO best practice here. But I said, from a product point of view and from a kind of growth validation point of view, I would be using PPC to validate, to make sure people in that market even want to buy your products and your system can help them buy, Because it's not just about ranking for it. It's about people going to buy something.
Yeah, converting, right? Commercials, yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, go and use PPC to validate that idea. So I would say I would be doing is, all right, so I need to supercharge our SEO. I'd be like, okay, what do you have PPC turned on? Is your PPC, what keywords are you, what keywords are you targeting?
Yeah.
What are they converting best on? What is assisted conversions with those keywords? And then work to, I think Will Reynolds of Sear Interactive has done some great talks on this. And I think there's Learning Bound. I think if you Google Will Reynolds Learning Bound, he does a talk on this. But I would be looking at how I can maximize the data of PPC to work with SEO to identify the categories, the products, also the missed opportunities, because then you can start looking at, oh, well, we're converting really well on these keywords, but we're not ranking very well. And if you pull in some third-party SEO data, the competition of those keywords, those topics, isn't, and using things like, I don't know if you know, like keyword insights to like group keywords together and turn them into into topics and things like that.
I think that's great. I think it's not many SEOs we've had on here that have said to use PPC to get things moving. But I think, I absolutely agree. At the end of the day, you've got to use the data. If you've got, if you're spending money there, or you've got money that you could test areas, because ultimately, you know, you could be running the gauntlet of a 6-12 month project and then realizing too late that ultimately you've gone down the wrong path, sort of thing, which is the sort of you know, it's all too common in SEO. You know, absolutely. You know, yeah, we got you on page one for this, that, and the other, and you know, and the various, you know, that you hear, but ultimately, you know, we've got to pay the bills. You know, you've got to ultimately, whether it's that category, subcategory, set of products, you know, the best sellers, the ones with a better margin, the, you know, there's obviously so many different groupings and whatnot. And it is about those groups. Now, you could, you know, you can do all the SEO research in the world, but, and yeah, you can definitely refine it with the, some of the SEO tools and what I was actually doing this very similar task this morning myself, actually, on the groupings and research and this for a couple of hours. But ultimately, if you've got ads running, you can see the keywords that are converted in most cases. Yeah.
So the and also what PPC will do as well, because, and there's this concept in Agile called lean, or lean thinking, and you probably heard the lean startup methodology, MVPs, build measure and learn loops. What that PPC will do, it'll also help you learn quickly about how a page converts. Yeah, because you're basically renting out, or you already have that data. Well, why don't you use that data to understand in 6, 9, 12 months time when you do rank for these keywords, which, you know, which is a lot, like, it's a long time to hope that your investment brings like 50, money back.
50 grand gone, and then you realize there's a, you know, bit of a problem. Yeah.
So yeah, I would be using PPC or any paid advertising or any way to quickly validate and learn which products are worth the time and investment of SEO growth. Because any tech class, and this is why that's what I said to you at the start, I'm a bit of a weird technical SEO, because I'm more about now thinking from a product point of view of, let's validate this. Let's think about this. Why are we doing this? Because I've seen what happens when you focus a lot on loads of different things. You just don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And then you get frustrated, don't you? So.
No, I think that's brilliant advice. So I would like to talk about tools with SEOs. You know, I think obviously it's something that, you know, I get in a cold sweat when I look at the direct debits to go out of my account every month. You know, because we spend, we're probably on about $8,000 a month, I think, on tools that are, but, not just on SEO, on PPC as well, but it's more, actually it's way more than that. But you know, technical SEO tools. Now, obviously you've worked at Deepcrawl. Obviously there's a lot of other things, tools out there. What's your sort of go-to tool set? Maybe talk us through, you know, you've got a site that you're looking at, you know, a client's come to you, e-com store has come to you, or potential clients come to you, you know, what's your sort of go-to process with your tools?
So I'm a bit picky about crawlers, mainly because I helped build one, and I've stared at them enough over the years and did so much competitor analysis. I would say Sitebulb is my favorite to do auditing at scale, and there's two reasons why. So one is, like, you got to understand, it's not about crawling, it's about data visualization and processing of that data.
Yeah,
right, that's what I as an SEO want out of it. I want to know what are the problems, what's the priority, how, and learn that as quickly as possible. Sitebulb does a really good job of doing that. And it has some brilliant hint, the way it even structures its priority tasks, it's like hints, you know, and it's kind of helping guide you towards problems.
Yeah, it's explaining the why,
and it also explains things,
then translate maybe to the dev, the client,
and it exports all that information into a sheet. Oh, you can solve every problem in the world with a sheet, Richard.
That's true.
So I do, I mean, obviously everyone loves Screaming Frog, and I enjoy Screaming Frog. However, it is a tool that I use to, like, check things. I just double check data and things like that, but I still have to, like, process that information, analyze that information, explain that information. Sitebulb does a really good job of hitting crawl and then changing the settings and pulling in APIs and, you know, analytics, Google Search Console. Just a really good job of, you know, the bit as a consultant where you're trying to explain why it's a problem, put it into a sheet, start at processing. It helps jump that, and it just helps.
It's not one I've used. I've generally not used Sitebulb.
So I know that, well, just again, my product knowledge of crawlers. It is definitely designed for consultants and agencies.
I think Stephen. Ken Wright.
You see.
Yeah, he mentioned that a few times as well, yeah.
But Sitebulb is designed for consultants. You can tell when you know, Deepcrawl is designed for enterprise, Spotify is designed for enterprise. Yeah. Sitebulb is obviously designed for consultants, and it's doing that very, very well. Brilliant. So,
okay. So Sitebulb, anything else, or is that your sort of, you?
Oh, so I'm a bit of an odd duck, but I use Miro a lot and Figma. And you're like, huh? Those are like whiteboarding and design tools.
I am actually one of the guys who uses Miro at work at the office.
Yeah. So Miro is super cheap, but also very, very useful because it helps you. So you know how I explained about communication and with developers? One of the best ways to talk to a dev about a problem is sit in Miro, share the link, and then basically try and explain the rules of the problem. Oh yeah, I'm doing if you're listening on Spotify, I'm doing hand things, and then start to write the rules out of what you're trying to explain, and then get some kind of visual design.
Yeah,
done this with e-commerce clients, where I try to explain restructuring the design of the link schema for pagination.
Yeah.
The devs thought I was crazy. Like, why are we sitting in a meeting for 20, like maximum 25 minutes? Because I was at time box meetings with devs because their time is important. But at the end, they were like, this is a really good process. And I was like, yeah. That's based on my training at Deepcrawl, because that's a thing that agile and engineering teams do. It's just you don't understand the power of conversation with devs and with anybody, like this conversation, right? People don't understand the power of that. So I would say that, oddly, a tool that can help you communicate better, like Miro, and explain things, and also Figma to design and draw things, to explain things to people and workflows and what's going on, is such an important tool as a consultant and as an SEO, or you know, as an agency, to get across what you're trying to do. Because communication is like what product people do. It's basically what you are as a product person. You spend all day communicating. Yep. As SEOs, we need to up our game as communication.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. A couple of things for the guys to check out. Talk to me about the SEO sprint. Obviously, that's something that I know you talk about. I'd love to find out more.
Yes, so the SEO sprint is a newsletter. And it is... Well, it started off as so in the beginning, I was just sharing loads of interesting product engineering links on Twitter, and I always get lots of likes and retweets. I was like, oh, this is interesting. So I just turned that into a newsletter. And then I was like, oh, well, weirdly, so part of my job at Deepcrawl was to interview enterprise SEOs and SEO managers on e-commerce sites, SaaS, etc. Understand their pain points. I just found it very interesting that all of my training to learn how to work with devs is probably helped them just as much as the Deepcrawl tool. And so I caught onto the idea, and this is kind of why I've become independent, to try and help SEOs better understand the product and engineering community approach to getting things done.
Yeah.
Because I think it's really weird. Like, you could drag and drop a lot of SEO things into product and engineering, like blog posts, webinars, and it would basically be the same problems. It's just you're trying to optimize for search. So that's the reason why the SEO sprint exists, because I'm just trying to get the time to write about my ideas, my approach. Yeah. And I wrote down all the posts I'd like to write. And I think I've like, if I kept doing them every 2 weeks, I'd be done in 3 years. So, which is why I'm going to, and I'm working on right now, a course, well, two courses, to help SEOs get into that mindset of agile fundamentals, you know, like the first principles, the building blocks of that community, how they approach, understand the rules of how engineering and product teams work. Because there'll be things that you'd be like, that's a bit, what does that mean? Like, why is, you know, there's sprints that everyone knows, But actually, there's a cadence, a set of events around sprints and engineering and product that if you approach it in the wrong way, you will actually miss out on and ever being able to get anything into the backlog.
Yeah.
Where I'm going, okay, well, in this course, you're going to learn these fundamentals, and actually, here's some of my tips on how to do these things.
Brilliant.
And approach these things.
Where can the guys that are listening sign up for the newsletter and find out more about those?
Yeah, so the newsletter is theseosprint.com.
Yeah.
It's free at the minute. I mean, it's 3 years. I'm going to have to spend 3 years writing, which probably isn't probably good. So I might eventually do some kind of paid subscription, but I don't know yet. So I'm just working on this course. So yeah, it's theseosprint.com. Yep. All the news, everything can go there.
Brilliant.
Now, if you want to learn more about it.
Thanks, Adam. So I like to finish every episode with a book recommendation. It doesn't have to be on, it can be on anything. It can be on SEO. It can be on life.
Life. Actually, yeah, life. So I'm going to hold it up because I've got it here. It's Make Time. I don't know if that breaks copyright, but it's fine. It's Make Time. Jake Knapp.
Hold it up again. Feel free to hold it up. Yeah. I'll have to focus on what matters every day. Jake Knapp and John Zadaski.
Zadaski. I actually met Jake when I did training for another book he wrote called The Design Sprint, which is what the SEO Sprint title is based on. Very tall man, very nice man. But he's from Google, and he developed The Design Sprint as part of a productivity hack. This book is a productivity book. But what's great about it, and what I really love as someone who's worked with in engineering and product teams in Agile, is it treats productivity as an experiment. And it's basically 80 plus ideas for you to try out. Like, and it treats your day more like you have one thing you want to do today. How are you positioning your entire day around that one thing you want to do?
I love that type of thing. That's very much
obviously, I mean, independent, you work in a company, wherever you like, productivity nowadays is something I think we're all trying to get better at. But in terms of not work-life balance, but like trying to fit work in and personal life, and I quite like that book because it gives me ideas to work on rather than, you know, 10 best ways to become productive.
15, 20. Brilliant. Well, thanks, Adam. It's been an absolute pleasure. So many nuggets in there. If obviously the guys want to find out more, you mentioned the SEO Sprint, but what's the best way to also reach out to you directly as well?
Twitter. I'm kind of so I'm on Twitter. So just Adam at a double agent. A double agent. I can't remember the name of my own handle. A double agent. I think
double agent.
Yeah.
AAGENT.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, thanks very much for being on Ecom 101. I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Richard. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the Ecom 101 e-commerce podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please hit subscribe and don't forget to sign up to our e-commerce newsletter and leave us a review on iTunes. This podcast has been brought to you by our team here at Ecom 101, the e-commerce marketing agency.